Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, China's bachelor explosion. The one-child policy comes of age with a glut of men looking for marriageable women. We'll also review the peer review process and ask if the standard for good science is good enough. And addicted to cute, is there a biological reason for America's obsession with internet kitties? But first, taking a seat at the kitchen table analogy. You've heard it before, politicians, economists, and pundits comparing the federal budget to a family budget. It follows that like a family with a stack of bills on the kitchen table, government must tighten its belt and live within its means. Whether accurate or not, it is an easy metaphor for a complicated problem and an almost dizzying amount of line items, deficit columns, and numbers followed by lots and lots of zeros. So we asked an economist to help us take the analogy a step further. What would the federal budget look like when scaled down to a real household budget? And is the comparison between the government and family limitations even helpful? Matthew J. Slaughter is Associate Dean for Faculty at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth, and he's going to help us walk through this. Matthew, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia. Glad to be here.
So first off, family budget metaphor is pulled out a lot in these debates. Why do you think it sticks so well?
Well, it's something I think that the typical American voter and family can relate to. The federal budget oftentimes gets lost in a sea of really big numbers. It's trillions of dollars in spending and taxing and even more trillions in debt. And I think for a lot of individuals, they can kind of think about, well, here's how my family operates with our income and our spending and our borrowing. So that day-to-day checkbook activity that a lot of people do, I think, helps try to make sense of what's going on in Washington with the federal budget.
So they cut it on down to household size. But let's look at the federal budget as proposed. We'll say Obama's budget. What is it now spending, let's say, in proportion to its income?
So good question. So one of the big things that a lot of people worry about with the federal budget in recent years is the amount of federal spending exceeds the amount of tax income that's coming in for the federal government. And so the metaphor for a family is, you know, the mom and dad or whatever the partners, the adults are working, they're earning some income, but when the family adds up how much they're spending for that year, they're spending more than they're taking in an income. And just like for families, that should give some pause and question about what's going on to explain that high amount of spending relative to income. The same thing is true for a lot of people then when they think about the federal budget.
So we just sort of did a little bit of math about this. The proposed budget by the president, $3.803 trillion in spending versus 2.902 in revenue, 24% deficit there. So if we put this in kind of household terms, say the household income is $50,000, we'll say its household debt is about $12,500. Sounds onerous, but actually looking at the numbers of American debt, average American household carries $15,422 in debt. So is this a false analogy?
No, so those numbers are actually really helpful to try to make the connection from what the government does and what households do. So on debt, I think an important thing that to keep in mind that's one difference between the federal government and households is the amount of debt that the federal government has outstanding relative to its income, its tax income, is much bigger than the amount of debt that households have outstanding relative to their income. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that this year the federal government's going to take in, we don't quite know, but let's say somewhere between $3 and $4 trillion in tax revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But the total amount of federal government debt outstanding is about five times that. It's about $16 trillion. So that's a lot more debt that our government has than households do.
Right.
And part of the reason I think households, when they think about what's happening with the federal budget, they worry a little bit relative to things that they're thinking about.
Here's a clip of President Obama on the debt ceiling debate. Now, this was shortly before the end of his first term and before Congress raised the debt ceiling for another few months.
The issue here is whether or not America pays its bills. We are not a deadbeat nation.
I'm wondering, Matthew, the debt ceiling debate is most commonly raised in the household slash government budget analogy. You know that the deficit is tantamount to credit card debt and the debt ceiling is like a credit card limit. So is this an accurate comparison?
Well, there's one big difference, which is it helps to think about how much debt either the government or households has relative to its capacity to pay off that debt. I think one big difference is, for better or for worse, you or I, when our credit card company typically keeps a close eye on how much debt we have and will say, I'm only going to lend to you this much. The federal government is a broader entity in the sense that it borrows not just for Americans today, but for Americans for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the big issues that I think is relevant for the federal government, but also for households, is thinking about how much spending and perhaps borrowing is going on to finance people today, kind of the older people in the country or in a family, versus investments that the country or a family makes for the young people, the children, or the children for the country.
I wonder, though, if consumer spending is such an indicator of how well our economy is doing, does it follow that household spending and even racking up debt is good for the U.S. economy?
Well, again, for a household, the question is, what are you borrowing for? You're borrowing for consumption, or you're borrowing for investment in the future, and are building up your capacity to repay that debt in the future. So for a family, if you look at households in America altogether, have about 10 to $12 trillion in debt outstanding. Most of that is debt on their mortgages. They have a bit of credit card debt as well and revolving bank credit. And so for households, this is part of the challenge of the financial crisis in recent years, was it became clear that a lot of families borrowed beyond their capacity to make good on those payments on that on those houses. So for our country, when we think about what we're borrowing, I think a legitimate question to ask is, are we borrowing to build up our country's productive capacity for the future, investments in roads and education and research and those kinds of things?
Well, you're talking about things that get parsed out as partisan debates, aren't you? So are there parties or interests that would most likely use the credit card limit, for example, portion of our budget analogy to their benefit?
Well, there's some voices that say it would be good to not raise the U.S. debt ceiling at this point. I think that is a challenge to think about because the debt ceiling, think of it is just the we've got existing laws for what we're going to spend and how much we're going to take in tax revenue that for the foreseeable future is going to mean we're going to run annual deficits at the federal level. Imposing some hard ceiling on that runs a really catastrophic risk for our country, which is what happens if we were to default on some of our existing obligations. Just like for a household, you try to not have any real hard firm stops that force you to suddenly fall behind on certain payments in a way that might really damage your personal credit.
Okay, so the State of the Union is going, President Obama's delivering it tomorrow night. What can we expect if we carry this kitchen table analogy further? Where will he be cutting his budget? Where will he be asking for more revenue?
So I think what information we have about the president's aspirations and many in Congress is to try to control the deficit spending that we've had in recent years. Just like households borrow when they have times of hardship, the federal government has run large deficits in the past 4 or 5 years in response to the world financial crisis. We ran deficits across the past 4 years that totaled a little over $5 trillion. So that's one immediate question is how do we try to get a little bit better balance between how much we're spending and how much tax revenue we're taking in? I think a second and medium and longer term question for the country, like again for families, is are we going to be doing enough spending to make investments to make the country, just like a household for itself, making investments for its benefit in the future? And that gets to the kind of spending rather than the total amount of spending. Again, are we investing in things like infrastructure, in research, in education, in the kinds of things that, like for families, when they make investments in their health and they make investments in their education, that tends to improve their future.
Just a few fewer zeros, I guess, Matthew.
Thanks. It's a lot of zeros. It's hard to keep track of, but the family analogy can help, I think, make sense of some of these national issues.
Matthew Slaughter, Associate Dean for Faculty at the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, we have compiled several examples and a few critiques of the family budget analogy that we found on the internet. You can take a look at wordofmouthradio.org and let us know what you think. Is it useful to compare the federal budget to a household budget? Is it just rhetoric? Or is there a valuable lesson to be learned? You can post a comment on our Facebook page where the conversation has already started. And coming up, reviewing the peer review process. Is the gold standard for good science living up to its promise? We're going to look at one case when Word of Mouth continues.